CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer as we wrap up this week. And what a week it's been in just about every aspect, you know, whether you look at the political world or whether you just look at what's going on in the body of Christ. You know, we're 1 week closer to the Lord taking us home. And I just want to remind everybody, this is not our home. We're just a passing through. And so, therefore, we want to be salt and light, just as Jesus said we should be. And again, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not just the ones we like, or maybe even the ones that our church denomination says are important and the rest don't matter. No, Jesus said every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Being about our Father's business, what a blessing and what a reward it carries in all of eternity. So you don't want to miss that for anything temporal. Maybe you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand. Hey, call us. That's why we're here for you. And again, we set this time aside just to do this very thing, and that's to address things going on in the world, that we get, as Christians, a good worldview of what's really going on. You know, if you don't read the Bible, you're not going to know what the Bible says about the last days. And yet, very clearly spelled out all the way through the Bible, not just in one chapter or one book, but all the way through the Bible, talks explicitly about these days that we live in and how important they are. And so better equipped we are, the better we can answer people questions when they ask us. And so if you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, someone's asked you a question, that number to call again, 8888. Ask CSN. You can be part of the program. We have some lines open. Joining me today, special guest Jeff Wickwire from Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi and welcome.
Hello, Mike. Good to be with you. Looking forward to another great show. And here in my neck of the woods, Fort Worth, Dallas, we're enjoying stellar, I'll go ahead and say it, Hawaii-type weather that you're used to. 70 degrees, sunshiny, gorgeous. So it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, as Mr. Rogers used to say. And good to be with you. Looking forward to some great questions. And wow, our world is in a situation, in a place, in a context right now that even people who don't consider themselves spiritual are looking at things and going, is something going on behind some veil? Is something going on being manipulated by another world that I can't see? Because there's things that I just can't account for, just adding two and two. We're watching major events go down all over the world. We're in all kinds of chaos and trouble and violence. And just very, very thankful that at least here in America, we've gotten a reprieve from wokeism and the things that were really wreaking havoc. And just some common sense has entered the government now. So looking forward to that. Really excited about that. But Mike, good to be with you once again on this Friday.
Amen. And look forward to answering some questions with all of you. And so if you got a question again, 8888, ask CSN's the number to call. With that, we'll go to the phones. We have Jeffrey on the line from Mineral Wells, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hey, thank you. You know, it's really awesome that Pastor Wickwire, that you're on here, because I was listening on our local station, 91.3, and the question that I have just coincidentally has a lot to do with, I think, the message that might be today. I was waiting for 6 o'clock, but having to do with Daniel 9
and
70 weeks of Daniel. Well, here's, and I'm actually preparing my Sunday school message, and I'm running a little behind. Obviously, it's already Friday, but my teenagers were excited last week to know that I'm going to be teaching on this the first 69 weeks of Daniel, and you guys I know have heard of read the book by Sir Robert Anderson and his calculations of how the edict from Nehemiah 2, or maybe it's Nehemiah 1, but anyway, Nehemiah, that when the edict would be, well, it talks about Daniel, that when that edict sets forth, that it'd be 69 weeks, and then the Messiah would be cut off. And so, and how those, now that coincides all the way right straight to the day of Christ's triumphant entry. And I'm getting two conflicting dates. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but I'd like to know your thoughts. It all starts with the edict from Artaxerxes, and I'm understanding some of the text, it's 445 BC, which takes us to 32 AD for Christ when he would make the triumphal entry. And then I've also got information that's 444 BC, which is 1 year difference, that takes us to 33 AD. And I don't know if you guys have studied this or not, but I'd like to know your thoughts if you have. And if you haven't, well, then might give you something to think about this week.
Yeah, the command went from Artaxerxes to go and rebuild the city walls around Jerusalem, March 14th, 445 BC. And the coming of the prince, April 6th, 32 AD. Now, the Babylonian calendar was predicated upon a 360-day year, where, of course, we have 365 days. And so there has to be that allotment. They partied away the other 5 days or whatever it was. But they were predicated upon a 360-day year. So when Jesus stopped and wept over the city there on Palm Sunday, as he looked into the city of Jerusalem, he wept. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the peace that belongs to you, this thy day. It was their day of salvation. And it was hid from their eyes. You see, unfortunately, though they had scriptures, they didn't know God. And this was the problem, because while they're plotting Jesus's death, here in the pigeonholes and all, where they kept the scrolls on the wall, all those little square boxes where they'd slide those in, they were fulfilling scripture that he was bruised for our transgressions, he was wounded for our iniquities, and upon him, Jesus, God laid the sin of us all. It's amazing to me the blindness that people will embrace once they've rejected the truth. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, this prophecy in Daniel, and by the way, I see on your question, Jeffrey, that you're referring to 929, and I'm assuming you mean 924 through 27. But that being said, and thank you for listening, by the way.
Amen.
And this is one of the most amazing prophecies in the Bible. Mike's talking about the blindness of people, how somebody can look at this and Daniel's prophecy nailing down precisely the arrival of Jesus into the earth. And Jesus of Nazareth was born in the Jewish world, proclaimed his messiahship 483 years after the decree to rebuild and restore Jerusalem was issued. He was cut off. But as Daniel said, not for himself, but it was for us. And with those 483 years completed, there's 1 week or 7 years remaining of the 70 weeks of Daniel. And that is the great tribulation period that no doubt we are very close to right now. So the only way that liberal scholars have been able to get around the accuracy of this prophecy is to say that it was written much later. And so it's being deceptive. It's not being truthful about the authorship, or the writing of it mainly. Not that the authorship wasn't Daniel, but that it came much, much later. It didn't. It was written by Daniel, who had a series of visions and dreams about, the four kingdoms. He was in Babylon. Then, of course, the Medes and the Persians, then the Greeks, and then the Romans. But he also prophesied the reappearance of the Roman Empire in the last days. Amazing prophecy. But this 70 weeks of Daniel is, I think, one of the most stunning prophecies in the Bible. So, yes, it is amazing. And he nailed it. He was absolutely accurate. Just if you read it and realize, wow, how, he was centuries before Christ. And yet right down to Jesus giving up his life, not for himself, but for us, just should send chills down anybody's spine. So, yes, Jeffrey, and once again, thanks for listening to the show.
Amen. Jeffrey, I hope that helps.
It does. And Pastor Jeff, I know your archives well. I drive a truck for a living, so I listen to sermons all day long. And but your teaching on Daniel, is it under a particular series that I can go back and listen to?
I taught the whole book. It should be in the archives. If you go to Turning Point Church and look in the archives, it should be there because I taught the entire book on a Wednesday night. So if you go there, you should find the whole thing. And if you don't, give us a call, and we will for sure figure out what the deal is because it should be there. And we'll get it to you one way or the other, okay?
I'm sure it's there. My wife says I have man eyes sometimes, so those man eyes don't see things. Yeah. They're right in front of them. So.
Yeah.
Jeff, let me know, okay?
But God
bless. Jeff, does that answer for you? Any other questions part of that as well?
You know, there was, but they've slipped my mind, and that's just also part of being 57 years old, I think. So I just take that as life.
We have man brains and man eyes as well.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that's very important is, again, when Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles, that the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. I believe that's really important because when Jesus said that, it was under Roman control and had not been under Jewish control previously for 800 years. And it was only in 1967 that Jerusalem came fully under the control of the Jews. And then Donald Trump, in his first presidency, declared to the world that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, which I think is astounding because for 2,800 years, Jerusalem was not in the hands of the Jews. It was always in the hands of the Gentiles. Now, what's even furthermore interesting, when you go to Revelation chapter 11, John is told to measure the third temple, which is not yet built, but we know they're working on it right now, awaiting, I believe, that which you're reading in Daniel there, the treaty that the Antichrist, and he will make a treaty for 1 week, which is 7 years, with the nation of Israel, and most likely allowing them to build their third temple. But what is astounding in that for many years I read this and I missed it and I didn't catch it. But it said, God spoke to John and said, do not measure the outer court. It has been given to the Gentiles. Now, without really looking at everything, you just breeze over that and go, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Here's why it's important. Because up till 1967, it was in control of the Gentiles. In other words, do not measure the outer court. It's been given to the Gentiles. Nothing was given to the Gentiles in 1967. They owned it for 2,800 years. It's only been since 1967 when they got both halves of the city of Jerusalem, and in that, the Temple Mount, which was formerly owned by Jordan, that now it could actually be said, don't measure the outer court. It's been given to the Gentiles. Given to the Gentiles by who? By Israel. See, Israel had to own it in order for them to give it away to the Gentiles so it would not be measured. So really, when you look at this, up until 1967, the Gentiles always owned the Temple Mount. They owned it going back 2,800 years. But now we find Israel in their homeland, Jerusalem, their capital, exactly what Jesus said in chapter 21 of Luke. And then he goes on and says this, the generation that sees these things will not pass away till all things are fulfilled. Friends, we are in exciting times right now. Jeffrey, I hope that helps. Stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, okay?
Okay.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. And we're going to go to Joe in Arkansas. Hi, welcome.
Hello, how you doing?
Good. How may we help?
I got a testimony. 50 years
ago. Well, we love testimonies.
50 years ago, I joined the service in the Marines and I did everything wrong. My only job was infantry. My job was to find the enemy and kill them or have them find me and kill me. And that was very harmful and stressful, and I drank a lot, and I smoked cigarettes a lot. And over the years, I had many PTSD problems. I had 35 pills a day to keep me alert, but I was still having panic attacks. I was still having nightmares. I almost killed my wife, choking her out in the middle of one of my nightmares, and then I had to move into another room, and I wanted to kill myself. I'd lost my wife, my former wife. I'd lost my two kids. So I joined the Vietnam Vets Motorcycle Club, and I thought they could kill me, but all they did was run me around and hang around with the pagans and renegades and Hell's Angels on both coasts, getting in all kinds of troubles. I got to retire out of the service. I come home, but I was medically messed up taking that medicines. And one day I decided life wasn't good, so I went and drove 50 miles away to a dam. A little guy down there watching, and he could be my witness. So I pulled a gun up, and something said, "Call your wife and tell her it ain't her fault." Well, where I was at, even though 50 miles away, was still in the same area code, so I didn't have to dial it. So I only had to dial seven numbers. I get a hold of a guy, and I go, "Who are you?" He goes, "I'm Elvis so-and-so." And I said, "Oh, another Elvis." He goes, "No, I'm Pastor Elvis so-and-so." And so I got a hold of a preacher, and I looked at my phone, and my phone was 501. And not only that, but his last four numbers was the same as the last four numbers on my cell phone. I didn't think that, because I'm doped up on this medicine. So I drove another 50 miles away to another veterans park, and there's a bunch of little kids there. And I said, "Well, I'm going to shoot myself anyway." So I raised the gun in my head, and I get a knock on my door. I said, "Somebody's knocking on my door, and I'm trying to kill myself." I turned around and looked, and there was my aunt. Hello?
And God, God intervened. That is an amazing story. You know, Joe, you know, God is good. There's no wrong numbers in God's phone book. You calling that day and getting a pastor, I think, is just really amazing. And I've seen so many stories like this. Divine intervention. You know, and sometimes we don't reach out to God till we're at the bottom of the barrel. And, you know, Jeff, I know you've seen this many times in your many years of ministry as well, where God just supernaturally intervenes in a divine way. After we spend our whole life wrecking our lives, God then begins his wonderful restorative process. And not only that, but oftentimes his healing process, because we really tear up our old bodies pretty bad. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's true. And Joe, we rejoice with you on that testimony. And yeah, God knows those that are going to come to him. He doesn't decide who's going to come to him, but he knows who's going to come to him. And I've seen God's sovereign protection over people, and I consider my own life. There's several times, in all honesty, really and truly, I should have been killed. I was in terrible car wrecks and very dangerous situations before I knew Christ, but I didn't. And I do believe that God is sovereign over everything. And so he's sovereign over what happened with Joe, and I've seen him intervene in other lives as well, and truly, remarkable way where he, you know, prevented you from being destroyed. There are so many people sitting in church that would immediately stand up and testify, if God had not sent an angel or if God had not protected me, there is no way I would be here today. And so, Joe, we rejoice with you. That's a great, great testimony. And to God be the glory.
Amen. That's a wonderful thing. And you know, again, seeing how God heals people is so absolutely amazing. And so, you know, Joe, I want to send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think you'll really enjoy them, okay?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, and yeah, we're breaking up here, but stay in line. We'll get those out to you. And again, to God be the glory, how he's redeemed all of us from what we were to what he wants us to be. So much better to be where he's at. Stay online. We'll get you taken care of. With that, 8888, Ask CSN is the number to call. We're going to go to Chuck, Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha.
Hello.
Hi, how may we help?
Oh, hey, I have a kind of a weird problem. I was trying to convince these atheists the existence of God, and I was giving them a kind of a scientific proof, and they got mad about it because I was telling and hung up on me because I was telling them that the universe is eternal, that matter is eternal, and God is the one making it work, It doesn't work by itself. And they get kind of mad and hung up on me. So I called a couple of Christian talk shows, and they did the same thing. They got mad and hung up on me. They didn't even want to discuss it. And I was asking, is there some Christian objection to the idea? Does it interfere with end times theology about if the universe is eternal and matter is eternal?
Well, actually, the Bible says that it's not. In fact, everything that we see now, the Bible said, is going to melt with a fervent heat. And he's going to make a brand new creation there at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. When the New Jerusalem comes down, this earth, the Bible says, will melt with a fervent heat. Now, understanding physics, we understand that like charges repel. You try to put two North Pole magnets together, they'll push against each other. You turn the magnet around north of the south, it snaps right to it. Well, by nature, the nucleus of an atom should not contain or be. Those like charges should repel from one another, and they don't. And depending what that composite structure of those atoms are, depends whether it's wood, metal, you know, whatever it might be. And then you have, of course, the neutrons, the protons. You have, of course, the other charge circling it. And so understanding that, I believe when the earth melts with the fervent heat, I believe God's just going to let by nature what it would do anyway. And this would be a what you call a giant thermal nuclear meltdown. Because if everything, all charges repel, and it's interesting, there's a verse in the Bible that says God holds all things together. If he lets by nature in the atom do what it by nature would do, and that's repel one another, every atom, atomic cell on this planet, which everything is made of, would just simply explode. So the Bible says he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, he is. And some of the language that Peter uses when he talks about everything dissolving or melting with a fervent heat, that's a very, when you look at the original Greek there, and the words that he used, it's very nuclear-like, because he describes the unraveling of the atom. And this is all the way back to the first century. This is Simon Peter, a former fisherman, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, being directed by God to predict this. And the verbiage he uses in the Greek language is, the coming apart of the atom, dissolving that you would see in like a nuclear blast. So one way or the other, the universe, including the earth, are going to melt with a fervent heat, and then God's going to create a whole new a new heavens and new earth. And that is one of the startling future predictions of Scripture. But as sure as we sit here, just as surely as Daniel 9 that we were talking about a moment ago came to pass, the 70 weeks of Daniel, Peter's prediction will also come to pass, and God's going to make everything new.
So I hope that helps.
Eternal. It's nothing to do with matter being eternal just because God is going to destroy the earth. Right now it's eternal. It lasts. It works. Everything works over and over and over. It doesn't decay. It doesn't pass away. It doesn't dissolve.
But the Bible says it will, though. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away. Now, again, I believe that is speaking of the stars, planets, cosmos. It very clearly says that.
It says it.
So, Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Peter predicted it. And then, of course, the book of Revelation clearly says he's going to do away with the old and bring to us a new heaven and new earth. And so that includes everything. So, I mean, right now it lasts, but the things that we see, taste, hear, touch, and smell are all going to pass away, and God's going to redo it, renew it, bring a whole new thing. And that's the prediction of Scripture. And you can't get around it. That is what it says. So actually right now, the universe and the earth are temporary. And that's what the Scripture teaches. So that's where we got to land.
And we do know that all things that we see were created from nothing. And that's true. Because when you really look at what an atom is, it's energy. And so by nature, again, God lets everything just go by nature. What it would do, it would simply just dissolve itself.
Let me read the verse, Mike, if I could.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but just real quickly before the break, for Chuck to look up 2 Peter 3:10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements, matter, will melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are in it, will be completely burned up and dissolved. There you go.
So that's what the Bible says, Chuck. I can't change God's word, and we just take it for what it says. Hope that helps.
So just because God is going to destroy the earth and the universe in the future, that doesn't mean that it's not eternal now.
Well, eternal means it never ends, so it can't be eternal. Eternal means without end, and there is an end to earth and
the
universe.
And I believe, Jeff, when talking about Jesus comes, I believe this is coming into his kingdom, into the New Jerusalem, because we know the other verses in the Bible clearly tell us what's going to happen in order. But the demise of our current ecosystem, planet, stars, cosmos, earth, matter, all these things, the Bible says are going to be destroyed. And that's what it says. And so, I always go back to this, Jeff. If it doesn't obviously mean what it's saying, what obviously could it mean? And so I believe we just sat there right there, Chuck. And, hey, we're coming up on a break, everyone. We don't want you to go away. We're going to have a whole lot more to Every Man and Answer coming up right after this. Chuck, stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, and a little book called 101 Last Days Prophecies. We'll be right back.
When I found out I was pregnant, I was devastated. I had no idea what to do.
When a young mom faces an unplanned pregnancy, she's confused and scared. Society tells her that baby's not a life and offers termination as the best solution. Preborn Network Clinic shines a light into the darkness and offers hope, love, and lifelong impact.
As soon as I get there, I felt welcome. They gave me the first look at my baby by providing a free ultrasound.
Preborn has rescued over 300,000 babies. To learn more about their life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before November 15th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is November 15th. So call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Welcome you back to part two of To Every Man Answer here on this Friday afternoon. Looking forward to being with you again for the next half hour as we answer more questions for God's Word. If you got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 8888. Ask CSN, number to call, and we're going to go back to the phones. We have Daniel on the line. Hilo, Hawaii. Aloha.
Hi, my brothers, Mike and Jeff. I just want to share something with your audience and with you guys. The Lord put in my heart about 2 years ago. And at that time, he gave me all the scriptures. And so I sent letters to, at that time, who the president was and the different people in charge of our government. And he told me to tell them that no matter who's president, who's in charge, if abortion wasn't coming to an end, the west coast of the United States has a population of about a little over 70 million. He said 70 million of his children have been killed through abortion. So he said things will be coming to an end.
Well, we know really, honestly, that we're ripe for judgment. I do believe, you know, what the Bible says, if the people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. And we've had a very sick land for a long, long time. Any particular party that believes it's okay to chop up children, to change their sexual identity. Kids are kids. Well, I'm 4 years old and I feel like I'm a boy, but I'm really a girl and I really don't know. Kids will eat ice cream sundaes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They don't know what they want. That's why they're parents. Unfortunately, the government has poked their nose everywhere where it doesn't belong. You know, their nose should have been in keeping our borders safe. Their nose should have been watching our issues on foreign soil, giving away an $80 billion brand new airfield to the Taliban in Afghanistan that Joe Biden did is outrageous. But no, they won't do what they're supposed to do. No, they want to go into your home and chop up your children. And I believe there was such a smack in the head in this last election for them that we'll see which way America goes. What they didn't kill in the womb, and very much, Daniel, what you're concerned about, and I think all of us that are Christians should be concerned about, if you didn't kill them in the womb, then chop them up after they get out. And that's exactly what the Democrat Party has done. This is really, really atrocious, because these children, they'll never have a normal sex life. They're hooked on drugs and beta blockers for their whole lives. They've destroyed them. And when you look and see this all in the name of, this is freedom. Oh, I just want freedom. Friends, chopping up your children is not freedom. These poor little kids, they can't make a decision like that. Again, they'll eat candy all day long. That's why there's parents. And that's why there should be a government that stays out of our homes and takes care of our borders, which they did not do. And I believe this is why they got a smack in the head like they had. And they're, you know, I listened to the liberal, you know, MSNBC, CNBC, CNN. What caused us to lose the election? Well, it was the uneducated white women. What racist statements coming out of it. No wonder they're all going broke. Do you know MSNBC is up for sale right now? A lot of people don't know that. You see, they've just lied to the American public so long that America doesn't trust them anymore. There was a survey done about a month ago, and they said that America's faith in the American news media is the lowest it has ever been.
Rightly so.
Because they can't tell the truth. Oh, Iowa's just flipped for Harris, 4 points ahead. All a big lie. Just all a big lie. And now I'm supposed to believe anything they say? No, I wouldn't believe anything these networks are saying. They have lied so much to the American public. They make quotes. Somebody will make up a quote, and then they'll quote that quote as if it's fact, never stating the source. And yet it's then broadcasted to all the other broadcasters, and they just keep reciting the lie and reciting the lie. Let me tell you, everybody, America has been duped by the American news media. Payday came, and thank God that it did. I don't know that America would have existed. And instead of blaming white women without a college degree, why don't you blame your own rotten policies and your lying to the American people continually? See, maybe that would tell everybody why you lost the election. You lost it on policy, not popularity contests, like it's some kind of a beauty pageant. And this is what has happened to America. We have popularized politics to the point where it doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. It's how you feel about it. Well, I feel that this is really wrong. This person said something that really hurt my feelings. Feelings don't matter. Feelings are neither right nor wrong. They're just there. But friends, there is fact. And the facts we know and what our nation was based upon was Judeo-Christian principles. When President Obama said, we're not a Christian nation, I believe that his nation wasn't, but America still is. And I listened to his racist rants. If you don't vote for Kamala Harris, you're not black. I mean, all kinds of insane stuff. The guy's a racist. And yet nobody says anything about this. You see, why people voted different this time, they're sick of it. They're sick of it. That's why. And I don't care what background you are, white women, black women, whatever. Even the Amish voted for Donald Trump. I believe to get rid of whatever God's name was governing us now, to get us into something else. Do you realize, everyone, these are things that the American news media won't tell you? President Biden has spent over $2 trillion since January. And our economy, inflation is still a train wreck. You see, he spent more money, put us farther in debt than any other president in the history of America. These are things that we have to think about. And again, I do believe there would have been a severe judgment. Now, again, when we look at the major exporters of wickedness in America, you look at Hollywood as an example, and demoralizing America. They said there all these Hollywood, oh, we're all moving, we're leaving America. I heard it said one time, yeah, they're all leaving America. They're all going to the Antarctic. They're all moving to the Antarctic, all these Hollywood actors, which is really good because they raise the IQ of both areas. But that's another topic. The point is that I believe that, again, God sees it all. 90 million slaughtered babies, I think, stands. And it's God's mercy that God intervened. And this idea of using abortion as birth control, I think, is a very dark thing. Now, here's why it's important. People say, well, what does it mean to me? It means a lot of things. Let me explain something to you here. If you don't value life in its inception, which is from God, they're not going to value life at the end of life. And with everybody wanting free health care, as we've all seen so much, well, just think about this for a minute. There's only so many doctors. There's only so many hospitals. And if they don't value life in its inception, you're old, you need an operation, they're going to say, get in line. Go do your civic duty and die. They don't value life then, they're not going to value it at the end. And friends, life is from God. And I believe that God divinely intervened. I believe when Trump turned his head, at just the right nanosecond, saved his life. Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah, to your statement, Daniel, about the abortion, just suffice it to say, all you have to do is read, for instance, through Jeremiah. If you read through the book of Jeremiah, God is very clear about why he's judging Judah, Jerusalem, his people, and allowing them to go into 70 years of captivity in Babylon. He's very clear. And one of the things he repeats over and over again is they were causing their children to pass through the fire. It was a horrible, horrible thing they did. But to appease the god of Molech, they would put their children, newborns, into the red-hot, glowing hands of some, metal idol that they built and fashioned, and the child would be burned alive. Now, we said, well, we're not doing that. Yeah, we are, because what was God judging them for? Sacrificing their children to an idol. Well, most abortions happen, let's be honest, for the idol, on the idol of our convenience. We don't want to be bothered with a baby. Oh, I don't have time for a baby. I don't have the money for a baby. I can involve myself in sex before marriage, but, I don't have time now for this baby. So I will sacrifice this baby on the altar of my convenience. And that's what we're doing. It's the same idea to appease my own will, to appease myself. And we have put ourselves above life. I am more important than life. It's all about me and what I want. I am more crucial than life. And so we sacrifice a life for our lives. Well, the only good news we can tell you here on CSN is that there is one life sacrificed for you and me, Amen. And that was Christ. And he gave his life on the cross for you and me. And that was an act of God. God so loved the world. But we have no right to sacrifice a baby's life for ourselves. And for our sin. So that's what's going on, Daniel. And you're right. It grieves God. And it's one of the key reasons Judah was carried into Babylonian captivity for 70 years, was murdering their children.
I do believe in God's judgment. And so, again, perhaps we got a reprieve, Daniel, for a little bit. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Daniel, hope that helps.
Yeah, the final thing is, he says, take heed. Okay, aloha.
Aloha. You stay on the line. I'll send you out a couple books, a couple of DVDs, Daniel. Thanks so much for calling in, and thank you so much for your concern in these days that we live. So important. I wish we all had passion. Let's go to Michael. Keller, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Yes, I had it's kind of three questions in one. I'll just say them real quick and let you guys take over. The age of accountability, what do you think that is? When the rapture happens, will everyone that has not reached the age of accountability, are they considered saved and automatically be caught up in the rapture? I'll leave that to you, and I'll just listen to your guys' answers. Thank you very much.
Michael, good. No, I don't believe that every child will be raptured at the rapture before the age of accountability. The reason why, based on biblical consistency, we find that God didn't spare those that were before the flood that died in the flood. We find also that God did not spare the children in towns like Jericho and when God told Saul to go wipe out the Amalekites. Now, that doesn't mean that these children, as an example, that died in the flood, went to hell. I believe God's a fair God. He's a just God, and he will judge them accordingly, same as it is with the rapture. There is a promise where the Bible says a child, where there is at least one believing home in Corinthians chapter 7, that child will be covered by the parent's salvation. But that doesn't mean that every child will be. And I don't find that in Scripture anywhere. And based upon what the rest of the Bible says concerning God's judgments, children were judged right along with their parents because of their behavior. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the Bible is silent on it, actually, as far as directly telling us whether or not children are going to be raptured up. It just doesn't say. So you do have to look at the scope of the entire Scripture, and we see that with Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire fell on everyone, and yet Lot and his family were taken out. So you have that example. And then, of course, in Noah's day, as Mike said, They were drowned. Now, when it comes to believing parents, I can't definitively say they will be raptured because the scriptures are silent on it. So I don't know the answer to that. If I could point to a chapter and verse, I would. But the scripture is very clear that if you are Christ, if you have put your faith in Christ as your Savior, then you're going to be taken up at the Lord's return. But it does not specifically mention children before the age of accountability. Now, you asked, Mike, what is the age of accountability? I believe it's relative to the child. The whole concept of the age of accountability is when a child is born, he has no idea about right and wrong, no idea about the death of Christ for him on the cross. He can't make a decision for any sins to be forgiven for at least a time in his young life because he can't conceptualize it. And there's no way that God is going to judge him for something that he has no chance of making a decision about. So based, I believe, on the child's intelligence, the child's upbringing, the child's cultural surroundings, various factors, the age of accountability is fluid. I don't think that there is a, 3 years old, 2 years old. I don't think that exists. God knows every child, and when they do reach a point where they can respond to the truth of God. And so I think the answer to that question, Mike, is it's relative. And as far as the rapture
anytime
of those children, there's no verse, there's no chapter. So wish I could be more definitive, but I can't.
Yeah. And I think there were several older Christian movies out that showed all the children in the world disappearing during the rapture. That is not scriptural. And again, based upon scriptural consistency, I think that's what we have to look at. Because again, what is the tribulation period? God dealing with his nation of Israel and God dealing with a Christ-rejecting world. What was the flood about? God dealing with a God-rejecting world. So I've got to just say the parallels are pretty much there. Michael, I hope that helps.
Yeah, yes, it does. One quick side note, if I can add. So I've been to some funerals of children. So some pastors will say, you'll one day see that boy or girl in heaven. So that is not scriptural, right? I mean,
I believe as an example, a 5-year-old little girl or boy that drowns in a swimming pool. I think God's a merciful God. I think he's a just God. And I don't believe he's going to hold that child accountable for, stealing cookies out of the kitchen. When we get into the age of accountability, which the Jewish people says is 13, that's where they have their bar mitzvahs and all this kind of stuff. But we do know that there's different ages in the way it's reflected. So when we look at really the judgment of God concerning, we'll see him again, I think that's very possible. Now, that's providing the people are born again to make it to heaven to see him again. To just make a general statement at a funeral saying, we'll see him again, only if you're born again. So that would be giving false hope to people that are not born again. Well, if you're just a really good person, you'll be up there in heaven on the back of your old pickup truck having a kegger with your friends. No, if you really read what heaven is, it's a place where God is worshipped forever. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. But he doesn't say the ungodly are going to be up there in heaven because their child went into heaven because they didn't know right from wrong. God has a compassion for that. If you read the book of Jonah, the very last chapter, it says, how is it that you can have compassion, Jonah, on a plant, but you can't have compassion on the babies that can't discern their right hand from their left hand who were spared? God cares about kids. Michael, I hope that helps.
Yeah, if I could real quick add, Mike, this is good, Michael. If you want to look up 2 Samuel 12, 22 to 23, that is where David's newborn baby has died. And David says this.
Yes.
Now that he's dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back now? Then listen to what David says. I can go to him. And other translations say, this is a paraphrase I'm reading, but other translations say, I will go to him, but he can't come to me. So David anticipated that he would see this newborn baby in heaven. It's a powerful verse, and I have used that verse when I have presided over the funeral of children. So you might want to look that up. It's a great verse.
Hope that helps, Mike. Well, good, good. If you get any more questions, feel free to call us, okay?
All right, thank you.
Stay online if you like. Send you out a little book called Time to Grow, as well as the movie Jesus, based on the Book of Luke DVD, as well as 101 Last Days Prophecies. Let's go to Brian, Lake Tahoe, California. Hi, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Mike, Pastor Jeff. Nice to be with you today. I was chiming in on the previous caller a couple times back about the universe is eternal.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I go along with your answer to the man. Yeah, Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away.
Yep.
But my word will never pass away. So that means the universe is not eternal.
No, you find it over and over. It's replete in the Bible. That means it's not just there once. The word replete means but back in many times. And you find it all the way through the Bible that this world is temporary. And so, again, when Jesus himself said, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my word will not pass away, very clearly there it means exactly what it says. Brian, hope that helps.
Mm-hmm. Well, just a minute. I don't think the man really got it stuck with him, but my understanding about physics is everything has a nuclear breakdown in this universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even diamonds are not forever. They have a nuclear breakdown.
Don't tell James Bond that.
Yeah. Be careful. You're on James Bond.
Sorry about that. I digress. I just do that. No, that's true. I mean, everything that we know, everybody, if you can't get anything else out of today, or maybe even this week, the only things going into eternity are people. Everything else that we see, wood, hay, stubble, it's all going to burn. The only things that will go into eternity, things done for God and people. No dollars, no bitcoins, no cars. No, all of that's going to burn. And when we go into eternity, you'll be so glad you made the investment in your children, your friends' lives, your parents, your children's lives, all those things, I believe, are so important. Brian, I hope that helps.
One more thing about how they do dating on old rocks, testing for the radioisotopes.
Yeah.
They're getting a false reading because even the radioisotopes after time have a breakdown. So they're getting a false reading.
And here's the other great problem that they fail to bring into accountability. Even when they look at the dinosaurs, they look at the long necks, the little teeny nose holes on some of these dinosaurs, they know the atmospheric conditions had to be different. In other words, the ratio of oxygen, nitrogen had to be different before the flood than it is now. Because an animal that big could not have the oxygen intake that they would need to sustain an animal that big with that narrow a throat, little tiny nose holes, little tiny mouth, the oxygen content, which would then affect the deterioration rate. In fact, what's really interesting, Noah worked on his boat, the Bible says, for over 100 years. Now, what's amazing about that in today's world, and you got to figure this is going to be a place, an environment more like Hawaii, very, very tropical, very, very, very comfortable with humidity. Well, if you've been in Hawaii any length of time, you know one end of the boat would rot out before you got the other end of the boat done in just a matter of a few years, let alone 100 years. So the decay rate, the deterioration of things had to be different down through history than it is now. And so these are part of what I believe were caused by a difference in at least the atmosphere, the way we understand it to be now. And we are out of time. And Brian, I hope that answered it for you. And Myron, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. And Megan, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing, the others. Thank you, Jeff, for being on with us.
My pleasure.
God bless you. And again, have a safe weekend. Hope to see you in church. And may the Lord keep you in his love. Keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.